We better mention that this is the 20th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq based on a lie. Colin Powell, if you're looking him up, told the United Nations Security Council, there it is, evidence, we have the evidence. And soldiers were killed, civilians were killed, the Iraq was destroyed, cities were devastated, etc., all because there was, according to everybody, weapons of mass destruction or in preparation. Tony Blair and including also U.S. Political leaders showed us mushroom clouds that you see that if we don't do something now, you know, this is going to happen. Then they invaded and based on information from intelligence people, so it brings us back to CSIS, it knows everything, and tells us that we have to be very, you know, we really have to make the Americans happy because they're worried about us. You know? So they're the ones who told the President of the United States on the question of are they preparing weapons of mass destruction? They said, it's a slam dunk. Remember the quote?
Yes.
It's a slam dunk. And as
they
many
slammed
as,
and they dunked.
Yes, there's as many as slip between the cup and lip. It was all just bunk. By the way, anybody reasonable or rational, and there were plenty of people, said, no, that's obviously bunk. But the New York Times was on side. And they, by the way, the New York Times did what the Globe and Mail has been doing recently. They had sources and informed sources. Somebody in the know was telling them. And then the secretary of the, what was the, Cheney. Well, you remember Cheney's job? What it was, the job description, I forget. Secretary of the Interior, was he, or the National Security?
Well, was he the vice president?
No, he's vice president.
He's vice
pardon
president,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, for people that remember.
The power behind the throne.
Just think about it. Actually, we lived through the period of Bush the Smaller, and we were told for the entire period that the real president was Cheney. That was baloney, too. They just played this game. Liberals said, oh, Cheney's really the bad guy. Bush is just a pigeon, you know. Well, they're all pigeons. I mean, they're just political hacks. But at any rate, the New York Times said that this great source, it was telling him things. That was Cheney. And then Cheney would be interviewed, and he would say he read in the New York Times that a disinformation from a source. He was the source. So he didn't mention that. He was like, so he was playing ball in a small room by himself, and they treated this as though it was, you know, wide open protest. I mean, just remember that, because now we're being told that the CIA is worried about us because little brother Canada is not up to snuff on the latest about foreign influence. But that was the invasion and the destruction of Iraq. And I want to remind everybody, I just saw John Chrétien. It was good to see him. just on this issue, because he was asked, well, oh, you regret that, or what do you think about it? Because he said we didn't join in. And he said, well, they wanted us to join in. They twisted our arms a bit. And he says, and then he said some business people wanted us to. But he said we didn't believe the information. We didn't believe it and didn't think that there was this justified in an attack. And so Canada was not overtly involved. I know that Eve Engler and others have said, well, of course they were involved a little bit of backup work, and you can't separate these guys. The NATO guys meet whether the politicians want them to meet or not. They do talk to each other, and they call up and they say, we want you to do this, and they just do it. But there was not a commitment of troops on the ground killing people, et cetera, being killed. But the Toronto Star put on their front page after, I think, maybe a week or two after they had achieved victory over a country that didn't have an air force anymore or an army. And Toronto Star said that their ace reporter, Mitch Potter, had found a secret document in the intelligence apparatus of Iraq that showed that Al-Qaeda, I think it was called at the time. You want to remember, this is a Shamalian phenomena. The names always change. But I think they were saying Al-Qaeda, which was another allegation which was false. You want to remember, by the way, the source on that was a man named Curveball. They said Curveball told them. Curveball turned out to be what most curveballs are. You know, it's kind of a phony thing that lands in 3 feet short of the plate. But the Toronto Star had this story that they had actually been going through documents and uncovered this letter. And it was a huge headline. Toronto Star, you know, breaks big story. And then the next day, 2 days later, there was a kind of a if and but comment because a British newspaper made the same claim about their reporter. And the initial report didn't mention that British paper. Then the whole thing went down the drain. It appears nobody after that claimed that was true. But they made a big thing like, see, Canada's playing its part. We actually, you know, we didn't have an army, but our guy. And that story just smelled high heaven. And has never been corroborated. But they, if you go back and look, and I invite amateur historians, please do it. The headline was so big, I swear, it took half of the front page. And it was a star beating its chest proudly of their ace, except that that was the end of the ace's reporting on the matter. And later, of course, he did similar stuff about Libya, and which also smelled a high heaven. Remember now again, now that we're talking about good old CSIS and how we have to make Uncle CIA happy, they told us that Gaddafi was passing out Viagra to the Libyan troops. And they had, full stop, think about that. It was on the face of it absurd. It didn't make any sense at all. But they put it out there. This is so as to produce mass rapes by the Libyan army, et cetera. Meanwhile, we were involved in a vicious, dishonest bombing of Libya in order to create a havoc and devastate a major African country, most advanced country in Africa at the time. Good friend of Nelson Mandela and the African National Congress. The African National Congress asked us, please don't do that. And we bombed anyway. To hell with them. Who cared? But that was all involving false intelligence. So when they tell you now that, they have information, you say, no, they're not very good at this, actually. What they're good at is politics. They know how to deliver on politics, and in the most recent stories involving the CSIS and their claim of interference, and they're always looking for they like to put out names that cause people to take their breath away. You know, like they will say the communist China. You know, this guy Poliv seems to have only just now learned that there were communists in China. I don't know why somebody didn't notify him earlier, because this happened in 1949, actually. And even Pierre Trudeau and others went and visited the communists, which apparently every time Poliev says that, you can see a little shake in his body as though he's living in the 1940s. He really... But the... The FBI was brought into this discussion now because I saw reports on the weekend about the ongoing talk about foreign interference, and the FBI confirmed that we have this problem. The FBI has been bothering various minorities in the United States for a long time, and now they're on the case of the Chinese Americans. And so we want to let's remind ourselves. They say, well, you see, we need to be watching, you know, for this interference, and then we need more power to do something about these folks. And it was the FBI that warned us about Martin Luther King. J. Edgar Hoover never changed his opinion that Martin Luther King was a communist, represented a communist threat to America. And he also took it upon himself to do something about it. Phil, you may remember, but Martin Luther King, they tapped his phone, they filmed him, they infiltrated and had agents in his group. And then they, on top of everything, because Hoover hated him so much, and they put together a collection of material involving actual recordings of the private encounters of Martin Luther King, intimate accounts of his, with individuals. We don't need to go into who or how. They sent that in a package to Martin Luther King with the suggestion that, well, they said they could make it public and would make it public. By the way, they ended up, they did make it public. But they said to him, he ought to kill himself. That was the message. This is the people protecting. By the way, now phoning up the CSIS guys and saying, hey, right on, guys, you know, good for you, suckers. This is ridiculous. The FBI has a miserable, dirty record. A miserable, dirty record. And the whole business of looking for enemy aliens is one of the things that has damn near torn up anything called the democratic process. From the beginning, from the founding of the United States, the first thing they did after, you know, after they achieved power was to begin to fight with each other, in which they criminalized each other on the issue of, are you for Britain or are you for France? And they targeted Tom Paine and others as being too, and Thomas Jefferson, by the way, as being too friendly to France. And French nationals in continental, with the new U.S. government, brand new, were targeted and driven out. They were chased out of the country. And so this, from the day they got started, they used police against each other. Now, by the way, here we are, 2023, and Donald Trump's may get arrested. This is, I would say to them, if you want to, there's two things going to happen. One, you're going to make him, by arresting him, you may make put him in a jailhouse. He may end up in the White House because there's going to be a bunch of people who don't like that. But it's also, there shows how willing they are to just rip the place up. It's very dangerous to take a former president and charge him. And actually, I don't know a precedent for this. I would say, you know, Uncle Sam has his own problems. But his thumb is on the scales in Canada. And they're looking for foreign interference, and it's easily found. Foreign interference. It's Five Eyes. If you look at the Globe and Mail report, Phil, and I know you've got a copy of it, I've got a copy of it, but they're talking about, among other things, that there is this disquiet in the international intelligence group called Five Eyes. They're not happy, some of them, with Canada, or so they tell us. But that is the definition of foreign interference. If they say, well, you know, we think you have a problem in Vancouver, well, who are you telling me that? That's obviously the Canadian issue, right? And so, and you say, well, I don't think I have a problem. Then somebody decides they're going to leak something. And so the actual interference in the internal affairs of Canada, apropos of this, they say foreign interference, is Five Eyes, number one. It's clearly them. And thinking they can dictate what Canada's internal resolution of political issues will be. And I really feel sorry and bitter about what I read about the treatment of the first Chinese-Canadian mayor of Vancouver, who won the mayor's job by 36,000 votes. That's the margin of victory. And yet we have somebody snooping around who says, oh, we think, you know, and not making a naked charge because they're gutless in that respect, but trying to undermine something which is we should really, as Canadians, be very proud of. Someone says, well, how did he come up, how was that victory won? You know who you should ask if you're a journalist? Ask a political scientist. Ask somebody who studied Vancouver and British Columbia politics. They can explain why. Somebody who has, maybe ask a sociologist, because we have a large, long-established Chinese-Canadian community, and someone who has studied how they vote, whether they vote, by the way, because I think the phenomena was, because of so much racism, there was a time there was no voting at all. Either they weren't allowed or they were discouraged. Like Mexican Americans, as you know, for many, many years, Mexican Americans did not participate because they realized they're under, you know, Five Eyes was watching them. But in this process, here's what I read in the Globe, and you must have seen it, Phil, about the mayor, who I gather is a really outstanding individual. They said that CSIS had approached and spoken to Stewart, who had been the incumbent, to talk about foreign interference. And that is police, secret police involvement in our elections. But notice something. They did not approach the Chinese-Canadian. The other Canadian named Stewart, they told him. And allegedly we have journalists here, but they didn't ask, well, who called who? Did Stewart call the CSIS or did CSIS call Stewart? But I would say that's meddling. You have a political contest. Secret police should not be talking to candidates. Because, by the way, he turned the wagon over because Stewart went out and started talking about how CSIS had warned him. So, anyway, Canadians should be warned. It is very clear that CSIS needs to be investigated, and they need to be told to keep their nose out of the democratic process in Canada. This is the Taylor Report, and according to Shea, we better wind this show up, and we have an Irish song. Do you know the name of that song?
Alan McBride.
Say it again.
Alan McBride. And
okay.
Arthur McBride. Sung by some Scotsman.
We'll play that. Okay, see you next week.
I once had a comrade named Arthur McBride. As we were a-walking along the seaside. As we were a-walking
Cinema
to
told
bed.
The Globe and Mail reporter.
It was all in the fine summer's morning. As we were a-walking along the seaside, we met Sergeant Napier and Corporal O'Han, and a little wee drummer called Patrick McDan. They were gone to the fair in the morning. New Arthur Melody, if you would but list 5 guineas ago.